There are a lot of songs that we sing that makes my skin tingle, and that's one of them. If you will, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, and I would like you to keep your fingers there as we'll be looking at the verses 14 through 21 very shortly. But I'd like to direct your attention this very moment to Revelation chapter 1. The revelation opens with John's vision into the heavenly realm. While he is in the Spirit, the Bible says it's on the Lord's day, John comes to the throne room of God. And there he sees the voice of the one speaking to him. It is the Son of Man, and this Son of Man is in anything but the form that we are accustomed to. The Bible tells us in the Revelation that his hair is white, that his eyes are like the flames of fire, his feet were like bronze, and his voice like the roar of water. And in his right hand he's holding seven stars, and from his mount came a sharp two-edged sword. And it also tells us that his face was radiant. But I want you to listen to what John wrote in verses 17 and 18. John said, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades.'" Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then the 24 elders joined then with them in crying out, "Worthy are you, Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." What is it like for you to pray? What is it like when you come before the holy God who created the heavens and the earth? What is it like to enter into a place where all power and all love is extended? How do you respond to the love of God who came to the earth to grant us all, as part of God's family, the riches of his glory, and who strengthens us by his Spirit? How do we respond? For Paul, in Ephesians chapter 3, it was on bended knee. For in verses 14 and 15, Paul writes here, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." Paul is not coming here before God for himself. He is coming before God on bended knee for a group of Christians that he loves dearly. He comes before the God who binds us together with cords that cannot be broken, because we are the family of God. And it is our Father in heaven which makes us a family. I know of no other organization on the face of the earth where I can pack up my wife and my children and I can go to a whole other country and walk into a building with a group of people and be a part of that family the moment I set foot in that church. We are family because of the blood of Christ. And as family, we need one another. But like with all families, whether it is a family of God or whether it is our earthly family, we get stressed. We get upset. We get hurt. We get angry. Or we simply just become overwhelmed. What does a church family need from the Father of this family? We need strength. And more to the point and specific, we need spiritual strength. And Paul prays that the brethren here in Ephesus will find that strength in the Spirit. In verses 16 and 17 of Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writes that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. What is this inner being, this inner man? I looked at a lot of commentaries this week, but I really like the way Adam Clark's commentary puts it. It says here that every man is a compound being. He has a body and a soul. The outward man is that alone which is seen and considered by men. The inward man is that which stands particularly in reference to God and eternity. The outward man is strengthened by earthly food. The inner man by spiritual and heavenly influences. Paul's prayer here is that our inner man is strengthened by the working of the Holy Spirit within our lives. It is that strength that empowers us to live holy lives. The strength doesn't come from our will, but from God who works within us. It is power that is found when we as a church, as a family, live in submission to God's will, so that we, as a church, and each of us individually, experience the power of living a life worthy of our calling. It is here that Paul falls on his knees and prays for that to happen in Ephesus. And we should also likewise pray that it happens within our home congregation. Can you imagine the revival that would take place when we as a church are strengthened with the power from above? But you see, that's not the only thing that Paul prayed about. Listen to the rest of Paul's prayer. I'd like to start with the second clause of the second part of verse 17 and read through verse 19. He says here that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Love. Look at the prayer that Paul shares. What is it that grounds us in Christ? It's love. What is it that unifies us as a family of God? It is love. And Paul wants us to comprehend that which surpasses knowledge. But how do we do that? Paul is so wrapped up in love that he finds that as the depth of our strength, the inner man, everything we do is limited to our knowledge and our understanding. If you were to put up here on the board an algebraic equation, I'm going to just look at it because it would make absolutely no effort. I would take no effort in even trying to solve it because I still, since the ninth grade, haven't figured out how you get numbers from letters. It is past my knowledge and past my understanding. And I'm sure that if I had a very rigid teacher that eventually she might be able to get it into my cranium. But I seriously doubt that. You know, we want so much to break outside of ourselves. We want so much to be able to grasp the love of Christ, but it is so difficult. How wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of God? God loves us so much that our human minds cannot even begin to grasp it. We can't take it in. Instead, we experience it in the unity of the church family. It is the church family that fills us to the fullness of God. It is time that we get out of the box mentality. We put life in a box. All of our successes go in a box. All of our failures go in a box. We put our relationships with people in a box. Our box is our lives and how we handle everything in life. But we can't fit this type of God in a box. God is bigger than our box. He literally explodes our box. And instead, he seeks to find us. He seeks to help us find the fullness in his love. Love that is expressed in our salvation. Love that is expressed in this church family. Love that is expressed on how we treat one another. Love that is expressed by lifting us out of the sinking sands of life and placing us on higher ground. Paul simply has to proclaim the greatness of God. But I would like us to listen to the rest of the chapter. Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." What do you get from God? More than you expect. You know, we can say to ourselves, this life isn't treating me right. It's not fair. We might even have the feeling that it's tough all the time. But Paul says that God is able to do more than we can imagine. And that power is at work inside of us as Christians. The problem is not that the church is too weak to wage war against the world. The problem is not that Christians are too weak to fight the prince of the air. The problem is we live in a box. We put our God in a box, and we can never grasp what Paul prayed that we might strive to grasp 2,000 years ago. It is time to destroy the box that we call life. It is time to surrender to a God who is beyond what we can imagine, but who loves us with a love that surpasses knowledge, so that we can live outside the box. Whatever you expect from God, He exceeds it. There is not a single sinner that God cannot forgive. When God calls us, He also enables us. He gives us the power and the strength, if we allow it to happen, to do great things with our lives. There is not a single situation in this life that cannot be handled. When God allows us to go through the sufferings of life, He goes through that valley with us, with His rod and with His staff, to guide and to comfort us. Prayer today is that we reach out our hearts to God, who already has given His blood to cleanse you. If I was to take every single precious stone, every single brick of gold, every single brick of silver, and pile it into one place, could never repay what God has done for me, and you could never repay what God has done for you. Don't keep Him in a box. Let Him out and watch things happen. If you are not a child of God tonight, what do you expect when your last day on this earth is over? The expectations are very bleak, because God gives us an opportunity, this life, to choose where we desire to spend eternity. We cannot delay it. We cannot say another time would be better than tonight. It must be tonight, because if God will answer our prayers, He'll come tomorrow and take us all home, us, our little ones, the ones that we love and hold dear. And if that day comes tomorrow, don't be caught left out. If you have not obeyed the gospel through repentance and confession and through baptism, when that great day comes, you will be left out. But if you are a child of God, if you have placed God in a box and you only allow Him in your presence when you feel like it, or only when you truly need Him, God does not want that. We need Him every hour. We need Him every single moment that we breathe. And He is always there for us. And maybe we've lived a life that has caused Him to be displeased with what we have done in our lives. Through the continual washing of the blood of our Lord and Savior, through repentance, He will forgive us of those sins and wipe it clean. If there is anyone here this evening that has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.